Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Josh Davis continues unmasking the global agenda, and then a little later, Clayton Van Hus will help us stay biblically grounded. Each year, we produce a calendar to raise funds for our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This special ministry provides Bibles, resources, prayer, and encouragement to prisoners across the country. This year, our calendar theme is Beyond the Veil. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus, the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar includes stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, the major Jewish holidays, and with each calendar you order, you'll provide two free calendars for incarcerated individuals through our prison ministry. This calendar, with its one-of-a-kind images, it's a perfect, perfect gift. It's also perfect for daily encouragement and as a Bible study inspiration. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. We have special discounts when you order multiple copies, which a lot of people do to help support the prison ministry and to give as special gifts during this holiday season. Order your calendars right now, 1-800-652-1144. Here's today's host, Josh Davis.
On yesterday's program, I tried to pull back the curtain on the global brainwashing attempts that have been occurring for a number of years. As we're discussing brainwashing the masses, on today's program, I want to show you what can we do? How can we stand against these brainwashing attempts? Well, we need to open our eyes while we still have time, but ultimately, we've got to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible reveals how we can battle brainwashing biblically. I'm going to turn to Daniel chapter 1. If you're in a place that you'd like to follow along with me in your Bible, I invite you to turn there with me. You know, a lot of students of Bible prophecy love to study the book of Daniel. And it's a powerful book filled with wonderful truths, even in the historical sections that sometimes get relegated to the back burner in light of other passages like Daniel 9 and some of the other prophetic chapters. But we can learn a lot of powerful truths from these kinds of passages like Daniel chapter number 1. I think that's a key passage to understanding brainwashing in Scripture and the solutions to it all. And so first we see the issues arising as you read the first few verses of Daniel chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, we read, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." And so you see, this is a deeply spiritual overtaking. They came against the house of God, took the vessels out, and brought it into this pagan deity's place of worship in the land of Shinar. So Nebuchadnezzar leads his Babylonian army, just to set the stage, leads them in victory over Judah, over the city of Jerusalem. And Daniel and three of his friends were Jewish young men who were taken captive in this defeat. And so because of their tremendous potential, they were brought back to Babylon to be trained to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to read Daniel 1, verses 3 and 4. "The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes," these that are part of the nobility of Israel, "children, in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." And so we see that there was a mental transformation that was taking place at this particular time, and it's similar to what we see happening in our world today. So let's explore how the Babylonians attempted to transform these Jewish captives. Now, the first lesson that we learned is that they were removed from their homeland and from their family, those people who would influence their lives for good and for the Lord. They were removed from that influence, from that godly place. Now, I think where they were taken to is just as important as where they were taken from. The Bible says that they were brought into the land of Shinar. We read that in verse 2. Did you know that's the site where the Tower of Babel was constructed? Yes, in the Bible, when you read Babel, another name for it, especially here in Daniel chapter 1, is this land of Shinar. It's referring to the exact same place. It was in that place where God was opposed and sin prevailed. It would be very difficult to live a righteous life in this kind of a wicked place. And so the Jewish captives were brought under the care of this new parent figure. His name was Ashpenaz. And the Bible tells us that they were taken into the land of Shinar when they were children. These are crucial years of a young man's life, and the choices that he makes over the next few years can alter the course of his entire life. And it's been wisely said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. The voices that we listen to transform what we think about and how we think. That's why the Bible strongly encourages us to guard our hearts, to guard our minds. God instructs parents to invest His truth into their kids. Deuteronomy chapter 6, for example. Daniel and his friends were removed from godly instruction and placed under this pagan influence to transform every single detail of their lives. Now, secondly, they were taught the literature and the language of the Babylonians. We read about that in verse 4. Their education was transformed as they were required to learn the language of Babylon now. And the Babylonians wanted to change the worldview of these young men. The goal here was to make them completely Babylonian. And they knew that it started by changing the way they thought. You see, how you think becomes what you believe, and what you believe will shape your values. And what we value shapes our behavior, and it shapes our choices. Now, why do you think there's such a battle today over what our young people are taught in schools? If you can influence today's young minds, you can control the future. The globalists know this, dear friends. That's why they're investing billions of dollars every single year in education and in media and in other programs to influence young people's minds with their agenda as early as possible. And in fact, I've heard stories of some states that have explored compulsory education for kids as young as 2 years old to get them as quickly as they can to change the way that they think. We've got to invest God's word into people. And that's why it's so important to do everything that we can to invest God's truth into the hearts, into the minds of our young people at a young, young age. Now, going on to the third point, as we go through the scripture in Daniel chapter 1, their diet was changed to a Babylonian diet. And they were forced to eat the Babylonian food. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't hold back the banquet. You know, it's not like setting a plate of scraps and of slop in front of somebody and saying, here, you're forced to eat this. No, this was a bounty literally fit for a king. Who wouldn't want to jump headfirst into this wonderful buffet of food and getting the exact same food that the king, one of the most powerful people in the world at that time, is eating? You get to sit at that same table and eat that same kind of food. How luxurious, how wonderful this is going to be. But for Daniel and his friends, this new diet went much further than food. It was an issue of obedience, and it was an issue of allegiance. So God had set down dietary laws in the Old Testament for the best interest of His people. Now, if you read on into the New Testament, you understand the function of the law, and especially the dietary laws. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail, but this is the central issue at play in this passage. Who would they obey? Who would they allow to determine good for them? You see, Nebuchadnezzar, the brainwasher, is trying to tell them, this is good. This is good for you. This is what you need to eat. As the brainwasher, the Babylonian system is telling them, you need to redefine what is good and what is bad. This food that we are putting before you is the best that there is in all the world. This is good for you. But will Daniel and his friends go along with that? Will they give in to that brainwashing attempt? Will they give in to the authority telling them these things? Who would be their chief authority? Who would get their allegiance? Would they stay true to God and what God had called good for his people, or what their captor is now calling good for them? And you see, there's an intense battle raging in our culture right now over what is good. Young people, some young people who grew up in Christian homes have bought into what the world calls good and God calls evil. I think that's the process of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32 in action. I would encourage you to jot that down, or at least remember it in your mind, and maybe turn and read that and think about these kinds of things. Romans 1, 18 to 32, where it talks about how God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I think this issue of authority is ground zero for the spiritual battle taking place in our world. Am I the authority over my life? Am I the one who gets to determine my gender, my identity, my sexuality, all these different things? Am I that authority, or is God and God's word? Even within the church, there are entire denominations who are debating these kinds of cultural issues because they've left the authority of God's word. They are subject to every whim that the culture blows across, and they go along with it completely and fully because they have left the authority of God's word. This is ground zero in the cultural battle in our world today. It's a mental battle. This is why this brainwashing the masses is so important, dear friends. Again, this is a DVD video teaching that is available at swrc.com. or by calling 1-800-652-1144. It's called Brainwashing the Masses. I'm sharing with you some of the truths that are included and some of the teaching that's included in the video over the course of yesterday and today. I don't have time to unpack it all. It's nearly an hour long, and I'm just hitting some of the highlights, helping you to understand the battle that's taking place in our world today. We're going through the brainwashing attempts of Babylon were used against Daniel, and they were taking to a place called the Land of Shinar, which we saw was Babylon. That was the first thing we saw. Secondly, we saw that they were changing their worldview through changing their literature, changing their language. Thirdly, they changed their diet. Fourthly, now, we see the Babylonians took their time with this transformation. Verse 5 of Daniel chapter 1 says that this was a 3-year program. Now, this wasn't like going to school. They don't go back home in the afternoon. They don't have their parents around them to tell them what is right and what is wrong. They're not allowed to go to church on Sunday, if you will, to put it in our modern day context. This was 24/7, around the clock training so that they would be ready to serve King Nebuchadnezzar, so that they would be thoroughly Babylonian in the way they thought, in the way they acted, in every aspect of their lives. And so you see, changing thinking, changing values, changing beliefs, changing behaviors takes time. The Babylonians invested that time to get the results that they wanted. When you look at globalism, when you look at the way that this mental transformation is taking place, it is taking years and years. And some of the agendas and some of these mindsets, specifically the kinds of things that I'm talking about, go back almost 100 years now. The globalists have long-range goals in sight. They're slowly, steadily moving the world in their direction. I think that COVID sped up that process, and in one sense, it served as a dry run or a litmus test, if you will, to see how our world will respond when another global crisis hits. Now, fifthly, Daniel and his three friends were given Babylonian names. You read about that in verse 6 and 7 of Daniel chapter 1. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and to whom the princes of the eunuchs gave the names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael, Meshach, Azariah, Abednego, some people would say. So without diving deep into the linguistics of what's going on here with the language, we can simply summarize the name change this way. Each name moved the focus off of Israel's God and onto the pagan Babylonian deity. So their very identity was centered around Babylon and its false gods. So the goal of all of this is to change absolutely everything about them. Whom they worshipped would determine the outcome of this experiment. Would Daniel and his friends blindly follow the Babylonian attempts to radically transform their identity, their thinking, their behavior, their purpose, their destiny? Would they give in to the brainwashing techniques employed on them? So to answer these questions, it all hinges on one verse in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It tells us, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." So if you're going to battle brainwashing, the first point that we make is that you've got to determine to stand with God. You see, Daniel chose God as his ultimate authority. He chose that I'm going to honor God above anyone else, as he refused the diet that Babylon demanded. He took a firm stand and he stood with what he knew was true. And that's the first choice that we've got to make as we battle brainwashing. We've got to determine, I'm going to stand with God. I'm going to stay in God's word. I'm going to faithfully follow the Lord and trust in him no matter what comes, no matter what pressure comes on me to change my mind, to change course. No, I'm going to stand for what is right. And going back 5 years now to COVID, we saw several pastors stand up boldly and say, "We're not giving in. We're not going this direction. We realize what you're trying to do. We're coming back to worship the Lord. We're gathering together again." The second lesson that we can learn in these kinds of situations, sometimes we feel like we are totally powerless. They're pressuring us from all sides. Daniel was surrounded by Babylon. He was surrounded by the Babylonian system. They had literally taken him and his friends captive, removed them from their homeland. They're prisoners of war in one sense, and they're trying to change everything about them. It seems like a very powerless situation to be in. But Daniel realized he was not powerless. And friends, that's the second point. First, we determine that we're going to stand with God. Secondly, we realize we are not powerless, even when we're in this kind of minority. You see, Daniel took that firm and bold stand, but he did it respectfully. How do I know that? Well, verse 8 told us he requested. He wasn't in a position to make demands, and yet he appealed nonetheless. Secondly, the next verse tells us, verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So that leads to a third lesson that we can learn. We've got to stand strong and show God's love to others. Daniel took a bold stand, a strong stand, but he did it with respect and he did it with a heart of love. And so you see, Daniel's heart of love really set the stage for what unfolds. He began to influence the next person around him. He didn't run straight to the king and make demands and shake his fist in Nebuchadnezzar's face. He would have been killed instantly for that kind of insubordination. But he influenced the person next to him through love, through respect, but through boldly standing on truth. What a powerful lesson for us to learn. Fourthly, he didn't give in to others' guilt and fear. You can read about that in verse number 10, where it tells us the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who's appointed your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king." Daniel, don't you realize what you're doing to me? Don't you realize the position you're putting me in? Daniel didn't allow that to derail him. He took a bold stand against the brainwashing attempt of his day, and we need to do the same thing. And he goes forward in God's wisdom as he proposes this test. He said, "Let's just try a test for 10 days. And so they ate their diet while the others ate the Babylonian bountiful banquet. And so after 10 days, Daniel and his friends looked healthier than everyone else, and the diet was changed for everybody. And so guess what happened? Babylon was trying to change Daniel and his friends, but Daniel and his friends ended up changing Babylon. What a powerful truth this is. When we stand firmly on God's truth, we can influence those around us, and God can broaden that. They went and stood before the king eventually, and Daniel just continued faithfully following the Lord, serving him as God opened up this powerful door for him. There is so much more that I could share with you about these things, but I'm running out of time, so just want to encourage you one more time. You can check out the DVD teaching where all of this and more is included. It's called Brainwashing the Masses. It's available at swrc.com or by giving us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Again, it's called Brainwashing the Masses. What can happen? What could God do through a generation of people who determine, I am going to stay true to the authority of God, the authority of God's Word, in spite of all the attempts to transform the way that I think and the way that I live surrounding me? No, I'm going to take a bold stand with respect, with love, and influence those that God has placed around me. Oh, what could God set in motion through people who make that determination just like Daniel did?
In the DVD, Brainwashing the Masses, Josh Davis uncovers the powerful manipulation tactics used by elite influencers to steer the masses toward a one-world system. These aren't just political or cultural shifts. They're prophetic signs pointing straight to the rise of the Antichrist and the fulfillment of end times prophecy. The battle for your mind is real, and it's happening right now. But this isn't just an expose. No, it's a call to action. Drawing wisdom from one of Scripture's most iconic figures, Josh Davis equips believers with biblical strategies to recognize deception and resist mental manipulation with unwavering faith. Don't be swayed, be prepared. Brainwashing the Masses. Order your copy today for a gift of $20 or more when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can order Brainwashing the Masses on our website, swrc.com. Discover the truth behind the lies and how to stand strong in a world gone mad. Order Brainwashing the Masses today. 1-800-652-1144. Here is biblical archaeologist Clayton Van Huss, ready to help keep us biblically grounded.
I'm so glad you joined us today for this biblically grounded segment. I'm coming to you from the Evangelical Theological Society meeting in Boston, Massachusetts. Specifically, I'm at the Near Eastern Archaeological Society meeting, which is a conglomerate, a gathering of evangelical archaeologists. And so today, we want to talk about the importance of scholarship. This is a scholarly conference, and it's got so many theologians, of course, in our little nook, the biblical archaeologists. But I'm joined today with a friend of mine. We've worked together for a number of years. Jordan, we've never had you on the program, but Jordan McClinton is joining us. Jordan, welcome.
Thank you, Clayton. It's an honor to be here with you guys. It's always good to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Not wearing dig clothes right. And all dirty. Covered and you're dirt. All nice and spiffy looking. So.
Well, thanks. So, Jordan, you are a PhD candidate. You are what, down to just...
I am all but dissertation right now. So writing.
At Veritas International University?
That is correct.
So what are you writing on?
My dissertation topic is our favisa at Shiloh, so our sacrificial bone deposit. So one of the three areas at Shiloh that we're kind of honing our research in on. This was a sacrificial deposit. We're connecting into the late Bronze Age, early Iron Age, so right around the arrival of the Israelites.
Yeah, and this is a kind of a really cool deal. In fact, there's an article coming out very soon.
Yep.
You and I were co-authors with Frankie Snyder.
That's right.
About some of the finds from your area. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, sure. So in the Judea-Samaria Research Survey, I believe, or journal, we have an article coming out that highlights some of the small finds that we found in our area, including a good portion of the gold objects that were uncovered from our site or our area.
Yeah. And so this favisa you're talking about, this is a sacrificial garbage dump. This is sacred garbage.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, we have garbage, but the Israelites had to take all of their sacrificial items and put them somewhere because they're not allowed to use them anymore. They're given to the Lord, right?
And you can't just throw it away in a garbage dump. You need to ceremonially dispose of them in an appropriate way and bury it. So that's what we're finding there.
Right. So very likely you're handling items that were used by the Israelites in a sacrificial system recorded in the Bible.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pottery, vessels, bones from sacrificial animals, and then the special objects like gold.
Yeah. Right. And so we've got to be careful. We can't just come out and say, oh, hey, look, we got the Israelites sacrifice. You're doing years of research, all sorts, and there's still questions. You know, what are we looking at? So tell us a little bit about the process of using science and using the brains God gave us instead of just making claims.
Absolutely. And this is a great place to talk about this because we're surrounded by great minds right now, particularly in the archaeological world. And it reminds me when we talk about these things, or maybe when you're hearing about this new research that's come out, that a lot of time and energy and scientific research has gone into this. And so we're not guessing. We're not just making wild assertions. The majority of this has taken a lot of effort and a lot of academic research on the shoulders of people in history who are gathering this information, you know, bouncing things off of each other. We're here at the Near Eastern Archaeological Society, right? We're all a group of people that are using each other's research to just further along the field of archaeology, and it's wonderful.
You know, that's a really good point. We're talking with people today. We're listening to people present their finds. They're publishing these in peer-reviewed journals. And so we are a network of archaeologists and not all Bible believers.
True.
There are skeptics out there who are adding to this field, all sorts of people working in this. Yeah. Jordan, thanks so much for joining
us
and looking forward to seeing you next year in Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
In the DVD, Brainwashing the Masses, Josh Davis uncovers the powerful manipulation tactics used by elite influencers to steer the masses toward a one-world system. Don't be swayed. Be prepared. Brainwashing the Masses. Order your copy today for a gift of $20 or more when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can order Brainwashing the Masses on our website, swrc.com. Discover the truth behind the lies and how to stand strong in a world gone mad. Order Brainwashing the Masses today, 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Dr. Carl Baugh will share how you and I can share the gospel with the people of the South Pacific. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.